Squiz Kids acknowledges the traditional owners of the lands on which we podcast, the Turrbal and Combermary people. This is a Squiz Kids podcast. Your fresh take on what's happening in the world around you.
She stole a young mermaid's voice, but boy can she sing. He wore a tin can hat on his head and ended up on a postage stamp. They chained themselves to fences and won the right to vote. This is your Squiz Kids shortcut to Outlaws and Rebels, the podcast where we dive into the who, what, where, when, why and how of the big news stories. I'm Christy Kidgerina.
And I'm Bryce Corlett.
Hey, Bryce.
Yes, Christy.
You know what's hitting cinemas this week?
What?
Bad Guys 2.
Oh, yeah.
That gang of animal criminals who want to go straight, but they can't help being a little bit bad.
They're the best kind of bad.
Yeah.
Likeable bad. You want them to succeed, but you also kind of want them to keep breaking the rules.
Hey, why is it that some of the baddest bad guys and gals in the movies, and sometimes even in real life, are the ones that we secretly cheer for? Sometimes the so-called baddies are actually the ones that we understand the most.
Good questions, Christy. And today we're unmasking the rebels and rule breakers who go from villains to heroes. The ones who steal, fight and stir up trouble, but somehow end up with our respect. From pirates and suffragettes to tin can helmet wearing bushrangers. We're asking today, who are these rebels? Why do we sometimes cheer for them? And what can they teach us? So, grab your black cape and your eye patch, and let's get stuck in.
And listen carefully, there's a quiz at the end. Who? So, who are the villains and rebels we weirdly admire? Well, let's start with the fictional ones, the ones we meet in movies or cartoons, and somehow we end up rooting for them.
Even when we probably shouldn't. Like Gru, the villain from Despicable Me. He wants to steal the moon, for goodness sake, but he's also a little bit of a softie. Yeah. He adopts three girls, learns to care, and suddenly he's the bad guy we all love.
Oh, he really is. And then there's Ursula from The Little Mermaid. Total sea witch.
She steals
Ariel's voice and sings about being nasty. But she was banished from the palace, remember? So maybe she's just lashing out because she felt excluded.
Oh, yeah, good point. And then, of course, what about Gargamel from The Smurfs? He's always trying to catch those little blue creatures, but he lives alone in a crumbling castle with just his cat. I mean, maybe he just wants someone to talk to.
Oh, it's a bit sad. Or how about Elphaba, the so-called Wicked Witch from Wicked? She's really misunderstood too. She tries to stand up to injustice, but everyone just assumes she's evil because of what she looks like.
And then there's my personal favourite, Robin Hood. I mean, he's technically a thief, but he's stealing from the rich to give to the poor. Total rebel and total legend.
Makes you think that maybe some of these baddies aren't completely evil. Maybe they're just misunderstood. Outsiders, misfits, and that makes us feel a little sorry for them or even cheer for them.
Well, that's all well and good, but those villains are all made up. Why on earth, though, do we cheer for real-life baddies?
Okay, let's dive into the real world now and meet some rebels who didn't come from cartoons or fairy tales, but from history. And let's see if we can figure out why we cheer them on. Now, firstly, let's take Anne Bonny and Mary Read. They were real-life pirates in the 1700s who dressed as men, sailed the high seas, and joined a crew of rule-breaking outlaws.
That's right. They weren't just along for the ride either. They fought in battles, they outsmarted soldiers, and even refused to surrender when their ship was captured.
Wow. And here in Australia, there's Ned Kelly, the most famous bushranger of them all. Now, Bryce, he robbed banks, got into gunfights with the police, and wore homemade armour in a final wild standoff.
He was caught and executed. But now there are statues of him, his story's been turned into movies, and some people even see him as a kind of folk hero.
That's a little bit like Bonnie and Clyde. They were a young couple in the 1930s who became famous for robbing banks in the United States. The newspapers made them look glamorous and rebellious at the same time. Mm-hmm. And even though they were dangerous and broke the law, people loved them.
Sure did. So what is going on here, Christy? Why do we sometimes cheer for people who have technically done the wrong thing?
I'm not sure, but I think maybe it's because they stood up to powerful systems, or because they were brave or clever, or maybe because they remind us of something deeper, that rules in society aren't always fair.
Which brings us to some rebels who weren't just rule breakers, they were change makers. Christy, what can rebels teach us, and can they actually change the world?
What?
Okay, Bryce, let's hop in the time machine and go way back to the early 1800s to a young Aboriginal woman in Tasmania named Tara Norrina. She's also known as Walya. Now, she'd been captured and enslaved when she was a child, but she escaped and returned as a warrior, leading a group of Aboriginal fighters against British invaders.
Yeah, that's right, Christy. She even used British weapons and tactics, and she refused to back down. At the time, the colonists called her dangerous, but today, many remember her as a freedom fighter.
Yeah, they sure do. And you know who else changed history with one small act of rebellion?
Who?
Have you heard of Rosa Parks, Bryce?
Oh, yes.
Ah, I thought you might have. Now, in 1955 in the United States, she refused to give up her seat on a bus to a white passenger. She was arrested, but her quiet protest helped spark the civil rights movement. Just one person, one small action, and a huge ripple effect.
But not all rebels changed the world with quiet protest, Christy. And I reckon some Squiz Kids might know about the Eureka Stockade.
Oh, I reckon they might.
Right here in Australia, in 1854, a group of gold miners built a stockade in Ballarat to protest unfair taxes. They were called the Eureka Rebels, and even though their battle was short and brutal, it led to fairer voting rights for miners and helped to shape the democracy we live in today.
Oh, and then there's the suffragettes. They're another example, a group of women who fought for the right to vote in the early 1900s. Because I know it's hard to believe, but it wasn't all that long ago that women weren't allowed to vote in elections. Crazy, right?
Wow.
And it led to the rise of the suffragettes. And in some countries, like the UK, they broke windows, set fires, and chained themselves to fences. And they were arrested, force-fed in prison, and treated really harshly.
Whoa, I didn't know they went that far.
Yeah, and they believed peaceful protests had been ignored for way too long, and that dramatic action was the only way to be heard. And eventually, they did win the right to vote. But it kind of makes you wonder.
Could they have done it another way? And is it okay to hurt things or break laws if you're fighting for something that matters?
Oh, Bryce, there are really big, important questions. And they're part of what make rebels so interesting. Mm. They're not always perfect, but they do often force us and the world to think differently.
True.
So, Bryce, being a rebel isn't always simple, is it?
Nope. Some rebels fight for justice. Some just want attention. Some break the rules to make things better, and others break the rules for less noble reasons. That's why it's important to stop and think. Not just what someone did, but why they did it. What were they fighting for? And did they help change things for the better?
Time for the quiz.
This is the podcast where you get to test how well you've been listening. Question number one. Which fictional thief is famous for robbing from the rich to give to the poor? That's right, it's Robin Hood.
Question number two. Name the two female pirates who masqueraded as men so that they could sail the seven seas. Good work if you said Anne Bonny and Mary Read.
Yeah, good work indeed. Question number three. In which Victorian city did the Eureka Stockade take place? Did you say Ballarat? You would be correct.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us as we explored the who, what, where, when, why, and how of outlaws and rebels.
Now get out there and have a most excellent day.
And be good. Over and out.